Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you on the Go and Teach Bible program. Hope that you get something out of the lesson and that it helps you in your search for the truth. If you're looking for a Bible study or a place to worship, we ask you to please contact us or come by the Monte Vista Church of Christ, and we'd love to have you. We're interested in your spirituality, and we're interested, more importantly, in where you spend your eternity. Have you ever noticed that when Christ heals, when Christ performs miracles, he places the responsibility on the person asking for the healing or for the miracle? Now, this doesn't happen every single time, but it does happen quite a bit. What I mean by that is this: Christ had the power to heal everybody of every disease. He had the power to heal every sickness, heal anything. He could have done anything he wanted to anybody, but many times Christ hesitates almost to perform the miracle, and he places the responsibility on the person by telling them that all things are possible for those who believe, or he'll hesitate and wait for them to ask, and it's obvious what they want. Or, this is probably the most common thing that we found, after the miracle, Jesus will tell them that their faith is what made them well. If you still don't know some of the narratives that I'm talking about, let me just give you a few of them. In Mark chapter 9, if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along here on the radio program, Mark chapter 9, we'll begin reading here in verse 21. There's a father who has a demon-possessed son. And the demon is torturing his son, literally torturing. The demon throws him into fire and throws him into water to destroy him. Begin reading with me to verse 21. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I read that with desperation in my voice, because any father who has a demon-possessed boy throwing him into water and throwing him into the fire would be desperate. And verse 23 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.'" All things are possible for one who believes. Jesus puts the burden or the responsibility on the dad. Jesus doesn't say, "I can do anything," although that would have been true. Although Jesus could have done anything, Jesus doesn't say, "I heal whoever I want to heal," although that would have been true. Jesus doesn't put the burden on himself as much as he puts the burden on believing. All things are possible for the one who believes. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And again, you'll see Jesus, before he heals, putting the responsibility on the person being healed. Remember the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years? And she thought, "If I could just touch the garments of Jesus, even the clothing of Jesus, I'll be healed." Let's begin reading here in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, and we'll read through verse 34 and get it all out there. "There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me?' He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. The passage says in Mark chapter 5 there that she had heard the reports about Jesus. And I love the way that is worded. She was so convinced about the power of Jesus because of what she had heard that she thought to herself, if I could just touch the garments of Jesus, I'll be healed. But this woman may have been too timid to ask, or she might have been afraid of others looking down on her, because among some circles in the Jews, it wasn't very appropriate for a woman to address a man directly in public for whatever reason. She doesn't make a scene out of it. She doesn't want to make a scene out of it, but she touches the clothing of Jesus, and the Bible says that Jesus could tell her that Jesus could tell that power had gone out of him. He turns around and wants to know who had done this. Who touched my garments? And she comes eventually and tells him the whole truth. Came trembling, falling down before Jesus and told it all. Oh, for the humility and faith of this woman. But when Jesus finally speaks to her, what I'm emphasizing is that he puts the responsibility of healing on her shoulders. Your faith, underline this please in your mind, your faith has made you well. In other words, not everyone who touched the garments of Jesus was made well. I dare say there was thousands, maybe millions of people who touched the garments of Jesus throughout the life of Christ. Not everybody who touched the clothing of Jesus was made well. But he told this woman, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Quite possibly, the most obvious of all the scenario was in Matthew chapter 9. Turn where they're with me now. Matthew chapter 9. This is the story of two blind men, and he actually asked them point blank, do you believe that I am able to do what you are asking? Begin reading with me in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Now stop right there. Now, what does that have to do anything with the healing? You know, the question, do you believe that I am able to do this? Actually, if you're getting what I'm saying, it has a lot to do with it. Even though Jesus could heal whoever he wanted, when he wanted, whatever ailment he wanted, Jesus didn't go around healing willy-nilly. There was a purpose behind his healing. So he asked them, do you believe that I can do what you're asking? And they said, yes. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done for you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. Verse 29, underline this, please. According to your faith, be it done for you. What actually healed the blind men? Now, of course, Jesus healed them. Yes. But I'm going to say the same thing that I did about the woman who touched his garments. Not everyone who touched the garments of Jesus was healed. Not every blind person was healed in the time of Christ. Just because you were blind doesn't mean that Jesus was automatically going to come and heal you when he came into your city. Faith played a part in these miracles. So to reiterate the point, it's amazing how many times Jesus places the responsibility on the person that's asking for the miracle. He says, your faith has made you well, your faith has saved you, great is your faith, go in peace. And then to these fellows in Matthew chapter 9, according to your faith, be it done for you. However, there is an opposite side of this. Just as Jesus healed people because of their faith, there were some occasions in the Word of God where Jesus withholds performing miracles because of the lack of faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus goes back to Nazareth. He goes back to Nazareth where he had grown up. And guess what he finds when he goes back home? A big homecoming reception? No. A big homecoming party? No. He goes back home and he's rejected about as strongly as he ever was while he was on earth, until the time that he died, of course. He's rejected so harshly that he refuses to perform many miracles for them. Begin reading with me in verse 53 of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 53 to 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters here with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household." And listen to verse 58. "He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Normally, when the Bible says that they were astonished at Jesus, you know, it was a positive thing. These people were astonished at Christ and they took offense. This little whippersnapper, wasn't he raised up by Mary? Isn't this the carpenter's son? His brothers are here, his sisters are here. Who really is this? You know, the problem was they had seen Christ basically be raised in diapers. That's basically the sentiment. More than anything, what I want you to see there is in verse 58 is that the rejection is so thorough that Jesus refuses to heal. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So just like we saw Jesus healing because of people's faith, here he's refusing people, he's refusing to heal or perform any mighty works because of the lack of faith. We won't read this passage in this lesson, but the Pharisees and the religious leaders asked Jesus to perform a sign. "Give us a sign," they asked Jesus on occasion. And remember what Jesus said every single time to the Pharisees? No. No. When Jesus was brought before Herod, and Herod wanted to see Jesus perform something incredible, what did Jesus do? Not a thing. You know what I would have done? I mean, this is kind of a sidetrack, but just give me. You know what Alan would have done? The way my personality is, and the way I think, I would have performed the most amount of miracles around the people who rejected me the strongest. You know, my thoughts would have been probably, "You don't believe in me? Get a load of this. Whiz, bang. You Pharisees want a sign? You want to test me? Get a load of this." But that's my stubborn personality. "You don't believe in me? I'll show you a miracle or two." But it just goes to show that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not ours, our ways. Jesus was quite content when people did not believe to say, "Sorry, no miracle for you. I'm not going to do anything in front of you." Well, guess what? This lesson has nothing to do with miracles. Now, I wasn't wasting your time these last 10 minutes or so, but I didn't give you all of that information about miracles and people healing because of faith and Jesus rejecting miracles because of the lack of faith. I didn't just give you all that for no reason. I wanted to set a stage and to establish a principle. This lesson is really about prayer. Hear me out. The principle of God working miracles in the lives of people who believe and refusing miracles in the lives of people who don't believe, it is true of prayer. What I want to show you from the scripture is that God is content to answer us when we believe, and he's content to not answer us if our faith is little or that we lack faith. Just like Jesus put the responsibility on the shoulders of those people in the passages that we've read, it is our responsibility to believe and to trust the God of heaven to answer us in prayer. Let's look at some principles of prayer that are similar to the principles that we've seen with the miracles of Jesus, and then let's ask ourselves if we've got the right kind of faith to pray about some of the things that we're asking about. In short, We need to learn the lesson of the fig tree. We need to learn the lesson of the cursed fig tree. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, Jesus curses a fig tree, but the lesson doesn't have anything to do with a tree. It actually has to do with prayer. The lesson here is about prayer. Mark chapter 11, begin with me in verse 12 and read through verse 14. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to the fig tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard it. Well, that's not a very nice thing to do to a tree. You know, tree huggers and environmentalists probably wouldn't like this passage, but Jesus curses a tree. But Jesus didn't curse a tree because he was just angry. You know, he is not getting unrighteously angry. Please don't believe that. Jesus was totally sinless. He did it to teach a lesson, which he teaches them later on in Mark 11. Skip down to verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God." Peter is acting all surprised. Peter's dumbfounded. You know, this is the same Peter who has seen Christ feed the 5,000. He's seen Christ feed the 4,000. This is the same Peter who saw Christ walk on water. This is the same Peter who saw Christ transfigured on the Mount. And Peter's calling attention to a withered fig tree. And no wonder Jesus tells them in verse 22, "Have faith in God." That really shouldn't be surprising to you, Peter. That really shouldn't dumbfound you at all. After all, I cursed it. And the lesson here that he teaches is that you've got to believe in what you ask for without any doubting. Listen to the lesson, verse 23 and 24. "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer," you see, the lesson is about prayer, the lesson of the fig tree, "whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have asked what you have received, believe that you have received it, excuse me, and it will be yours." Verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive, and if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Have we learned the lesson from the cursed fig tree? We've got to believe in the things that we ask for. Trust God will do the things that we are asking Him to do, just like the people at the beginning of the lesson believed that God would heal. Like the woman believed if she just touched the garments. Or the two blind men where Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do what you are asking?" Just like those instances where faith was required, so faith is required in prayer, that we believe that God is able to do the things that we are asking. Listen to some other passages. In James chapter 1, James says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting." Did you hear that last part? With faith, in faith, without any doubting. You know, we talk about asking things in faith and having faith, but I wonder if we're really comfortable with the last part. No doubting. No doubting. Listen to another passage in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15. "If we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked from Him." We know that we have the requests we asked. Let me ask you something about John. Or let me tell you something about John. He learned the lesson from the cursed fig tree. John was there that day in Mark chapter 11. He got it. Based on what he said there in 1 John 5. We know that if He hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked from Him. He got the lesson from the cursed fig tree. Have you got it? Have I got it? So I want you to think for a moment about some things that you're praying about right now. Some things going on in your life. And I want you to ask yourself seriously if there is any doubting or if you truly believe that we have the requests that we have from God. Are you praying about a job, getting a job, changing jobs, changing careers? Are you doubting? Are you praying about your marriage? Are you praying about your children? Are you praying about being a good parent? Are you praying about the leaders and those in power? You know, I pray a lot about our leaders. We're told to pray for our leaders. But I've got to be very honest with you. A lot of times when I pray those prayers, I highly doubt that our leaders are going to do the right thing. Well, shame on me. I'm praying for them. I should have the faith in God that He is able to manipulate authorities and those in power. Are you praying for lost souls? And are you praying for your efforts to reach them? Have I struck a chord with anyone yet? What I'm preaching is, if God is not answering our prayers, it could be our fault. Perhaps God is saying no, like Christ said no in Nazareth, when He refused to perform any mighty works there because they lacked faith. Maybe our faith isn't what it should be, and we've let doubt creep in. We need to ask ourselves the same question that Christ asked the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Do we believe that God is able to do what we're asking of Him? The two blind men said, "Yes, Lord," and may we answer the same. Before we conclude, I want to be very clear about something. Even if our faith is absolutely 100% perfect, it still wouldn't mean that God is going to give us 100% of what we ask for. Paul's faith was pretty good, wouldn't you say? Paul's faith was amazing. Paul's faith seems totally unshakable. He prayed a few times that a thorn in the flesh, that a physical infirmity would be removed. And he tells us about that in 2 Corinthians. And God says, no, I'm not removing that thorn. I'm not removing that physical infirmity. Now, is it Paul's problem there? You know, was God saying no because Paul lacked faith that God could remove that physical infirmity? No one would say that. What I'm saying is, I don't want anyone to stop listening to the radio program and say, well, this guy thinks that God is going to do whatever I ask when I ask it. You know, if I ask that the Lord will, you know, grant me a raise of $5,000 a year, He's going to give me that. Well, come on. You know, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And He has the choice of deciding what's best for you and what's not best. His grace is sufficient for you. That's what He told Paul when he told him no. So He's still sovereign, and He still has the choice of saying yes or no. But our faith and our trust in our requests, that still shouldn't waver. That's all I'm saying. Lastly, we'll close on this note. Although we may have the faith that removes mountains, although we may have the unwavering faith that God desires, although we may never doubt His word, doubt His power, doubt His providence, although we may never doubt God's ability, although we may never doubt that that to those who ask it is given, those who seek find, those who knock it is opened, although we may persist in prayer like the great men and women of the Bible persisting day and night, may we find the courage and the humility to bow the knee and pray the greatest prayer there ever was. Not as I will, but Your will be done. When we can get to the point where we're not asking that our will be done. Now that's being like Jesus. That's imitating Jesus. And that's the greatest faith there is. When we'll accept if God says yes or if he says no, it doesn't matter as much as it matters that his will is done. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.